blues singer Mamie Smith was one of the most consequential performers ever to come from Cincinnati. Her 1920 OK Records established the so-called race record industry, these being records of African-American artists targeted to a black audience, though it should be noted that Mamie's records were marketed as mainstream releases and enjoyed by all kinds of Americans. She also may have been the first superstar in black entertainment. In the early 1920s, Mamie Smith could pack concert venues with tens of thousands, with hundreds more being turned away at the door. Smith's colleague in the blues world, Victoria Spivey, remembered in 1964 that Mamie's full voice filled the entire auditorium without the use of microphones as we use today.
I hate myself. Oh, yes, I do. That's why I rave about me. I know I'm good. What do I care? Modesty never helped me. No how. I advertise, rolling my eyes. My shape's divine, I admit. I'm the real thing, for when I
This past season, I have been giving a monthly series of talks at the Public Library of Cincinnati and Hamilton County on significant figures from Cincinnati's entertainment history. For the month of June 2014, Mamie Smith was my chosen topic. Although her music isn't often heard these days, and current context critics are inexplicably dubious about her claim to the mantle of Queen of the Blues, Mamie's achievements are reasonably well known, and at first I thought preparing the talk on Mamie would be a no-brainer. However, as I progressed, I discovered a number of things in her biography that didn't seem to shake hands, particularly her birth date in Cincinnati. Moreover, no one in the literature seemed concerned about what her true name may have been. Mamie is a diminutive, and her maiden name was variously reported as Robinson, Gardner with two E's, and Gardner with one E. Putting together a timeline of the various events in her life from multiple sources, I discovered no less than 5 possible birth dates for Mamie Smith and at least 3 death dates, though these were placed closer together. Under the circumstances, it seemed best to contact Rebecca Forstey, a close friend who is an expert genealogical researcher. Here's the mother of the blues, Ma Rainey, who was born in 1886, though the 1900 census says 1882. She first sang the blues in about 1903. To my mind, that Mamie Smith was born in 1883 didn't follow the historic, stylistic arc of the blues as we know it. Could this singer, who plied her trade in the cities starting in 1920, really have been older than Ma Rainey or Charlie Patton, the earliest Southern blues artist that we can still listen to today? Much of the biographical information that we have on Mamie Smith comes from Len Kunstadt in the January 1964 issue of his magazine Record Research. This was initially described as a summary, or in Kunstadt's words, a tintype. My late friend Frank Powers, a longtime jazz musician and historian based in Cincinnati, knew Lenny Kunstadt. And while Frank respected his memory, He sometimes complained about the veracity of some of the research that appeared in Record Research. Over the years, Kunstadt's tintype has been repeated in variant wording, or not so, over countless potted biographies of Smith that vary in small details, both in print and on the web. These details began to enter various self-contradictory streams as the tintype became enlarged and embellished. If the 1883 birth date is true, then Mamie Smith labored for nearly 30 years in vaudeville before ever stepping in front of a recording horn. One source had her appearing in Tutt and Whitney's review Smart Set more than a decade before it opened. But this helped to open a door for us. Rebecca Forstey discovered reminiscence from Salem Tutt Whitney himself, remembering little Mamie Gardner as half of a dancing duo called the Gardners. She was only briefly with the company, joined in 1910 at age 15, and her partner was a man named Sam Gardner. This gave us something to go on. Sam, like Mamie, may have been a nickname or professional name. While we cannot confirm at present that the results are absolute, Rebecca Forstey found a marriage certificate for May or Mary Nanny Robinson to a man named Gardner in Youngstown, Ohio, in 1915. May is listed at age 21. And her birthplace is given as Madisonville, Ohio, not yet part of the city of Cincinnati when she was born. Just months before, in New York City, the Gardners were listed by a census taker at a theatrical boarding house. Here, Mamie Gardner gives her age as 28, and she is posing as Gardner's wife, even though their actual marriage didn't take place until later. Apparently, Mamie Smith was in the habit of posing as a married woman and lying about her age.
My head is reeling, oh what a feeling, and something hurts my brain. Feel just like screaming, I'm like a demon, I fear I'll go insane. If you knew what I've gone through, you would feel the same way too. I'm going crazy with the blues since I have heard heartbreaking news.
We found no evidence that she ever actually married William Smitty Smith, the man from whom she took her professional name. And according to Mamie's handler, Perry Bradford, Mr. Smith was out of the picture by May 1921. But if the age given on the 1915 marriage certificate is real, then she was born the same year as Bessie Smith, Clara Smith, and Lucille Hegeman, and was 1 year older than Trixie Smith and Alberta Hunter. This revised birth date of 1894 places Mamie Smith with the generation of blues singers to which she belongs in a stylistic sense. Research on this front is still developing, and we do not know yet if we are just out and out wrong, but this puts the first genuine challenge to the notion that Mamie Smith was born in 1883. The source of the 1883 date bears repeating. It is indicated on the cemetery card filed when she was buried in 1946 that she was 63 years, 3 months, and 21 days old when she died. Another hand on the card, possibly Len Kunstadt's, calculates this to a birth date of 1883-4-26. Even though the 4 was later recalculated to a 5. Kunstadt reports these statistics in his article and comments that if it weren't for the blue index card in the Frederick Douglass Memorial Park's office, Mamie could have disappeared off the side of the earth. Indeed, Kunstadt is correct that Mamie's mortal remains could have disappeared, given the chaos surrounding her burial. Two death certificates were filed for Mamie Smith, one as Mamie Smith in Manhattan, and the other Mamie Robinson in the Bronx. Her undertaker, Lafayette Rogers, held offices in both cities. Her death dates are listed 3 days apart, on September 16 and 19, between the two certificates. Mamie was buried on Staten Island with two others in a common plot with no headstone. In the latter part of 1963, Victoria Spivey mounted a campaign to move Mamie's remains to her own plot and to provide a marker for her. Spivey had a handsome headstone made through the behest of Gunther and Lore Boas, a German couple described as great lovers of the blues, who raised the money through a benefit concert that they organized in Germany. A ship sent the stone to New Orleans, and a photograph published in Record Research celebrates its arrival. A gala concert was held in New York City in January 1964, featuring many of Mamie's contemporaries, including Lucille Hageman, Sam Theard, and Spivey herself, to complete the project. And for some reason, the tombstone in the picture was never placed on the grave. No one seems to know what happened to it. On Saturday, May 30th of this year, Rebecca Forsty went out to Frederick Douglass Memorial Park and easily found Mamie Smith's resting place. It bears a simple stone reading, "Mamie Smith Remembered and No More." This is in a different part of the cemetery than that indicated on the blue index card, suggesting that Spivey and Kunstadt succeeded in getting Smith's remains moved from its shared situation with the two strangers into a plot of their own. The Douglass Memorial Park has been in trouble for some years. In 2007, it was reported that the facility was in danger of being abandoned. It has only three seldom paid caretakers that are hardly ever there, and it is awash in debt for water bills and other day-to-day expenses. A fellow who shall remain unnamed here has been working to raise funds for a proper stone that provides information about Mamie Smith's life and achievements. But the proposed stone bears the traditional dates from Kunstadt that are incorrect on the birth end and uncertain for her death. Moreover, he proposes to place it on the plot indicated on the burial card, where Mamie likely no longer resides. And is that so bad? Elvis Presley's tombstone doesn't have his middle name spelled correctly, though at least we are pretty sure the King of Rock and Roll is under the stone. For the Queen of the Blues, it appears that the situation is considerably more complicated. Special thanks to Malcolm Rockwell for his help with this commentary. I'm Dave Lewis.
If you take heed to my story, you'll be introduced to glory, glory. If you keep this thought in view, anything that troubles you disappears.